You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, guys.
Well, the band is back together. It is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman Tangway along for the ride, Zoom and Pod. Thanks for joining us, everybody. As always, we're brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL season is underway, bringing us incredible offers from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Jeff Goodman coming to us from a hotel in Bloomington, Indiana. Looks like he's being held hostage somewhere.
It's a beautiful hotel, The Graduate. It's on campus. It's the best of the hotels here. It's actually, you can't get the full right now experience, but there's an Indiana 52 state champs banner in here for high school. I mean, it's a cute little spot. They could probably do away with the drapes and maybe swap those out. But the location is awesome.
By the way, in my next life, guys, I want to design bathrooms for and rooms. I want to design rooms for hotels. Because
you've been in enough of them.
I've been in enough of them. And it amazes me some of the stupid layouts that they have. We'll get into that some other day.
Oh, my God. Bob, where was that topic in like July? I mean, we could have done a whole topic.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Save that for next year.
All right. And nothing will change, Gary. So I'm sure it'll be viable next year as well.
I'm telling you. Ryan could talk Sinatra, NBA. And hotel rooms. All right, Jeff, you've had a couple of weeks off, so let's put you to work. You've got an article coming out. First, tell people where they can get it. It's on Jason Tatum. You spent some time with him. And we're going to get into the meat of the article and some of the things he said, but where can they find it and how do you find him right now?
So it came out last week on The Messenger. New website. It started up. The website started up a few months ago, but they just added the sports component to it. It's been news, politics, entertainment. Entertainment guy named Jimmy Finkelstein owns it, started it up, and it's designed to be more of a news, like down the middle,
right?
Type old school website. No paywall, and Seth Davis and I were both hired to cover basketball, so I'm excited to write again because I haven't written a whole lot over the last. Boy, I mean, when I was hired at ESPN, I thought I was being hired as a writer, and I was behind the paywall. I wasn't told that, and then I became kind of a TV person. Now I'd like to write again. I'll still do some other stuff, obviously TV, video, those things. But my first story was about Jason Tatum, and I talked to him for about an hour. He's out in LA training right now, and you know, I thought it was interesting. His maturity over the years. I mean, he's never going to say anything flammable, guys. That's not Jason Tatum, right? He's too smart. But, you know, a couple of things that really struck me were him talking about the fact that he understands that if LeBron and KD are getting criticized, he's okay. He gets that he's open and should be open to criticism. because of what, you know, he's hasn't been able to accomplish these last few years. But he also put it in perspective and said, listen, you know, what we've done, me and Jaylen Brown together, I'm 25 years old and we've been in the playoffs every year. We've been to the NBA finals. We've been to the Eastern Conference finals multiple times. You know, I think there's some pride to be taken from that. And we talked about a wide range. Like, I almost hit him on too many topics, guys. I had too many things I wanted to talk to him. And then you get off the phone after an hour and you're like, man, I wish I got deeper on this. But we talked about everything from fatherhood. And one of the things that didn't make this story was, I don't know if you guys remember, during the pandemic, he told me on a this pod, before it was this pod, was that he was embarrassed to tell the Celtics organization that he was going to have a kid. And now he said, I can't believe I'm the guy who's got such a public relationship with my son out there. I never thought I'd be that guy, but you know, he's grown up. He said, it was almost like, I can't believe I was embarrassed back then, but I was young. I was, you know, he was 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. No, he's right. It's very rare that a father has that kind of public relationship with a kid at that age. It's extraordinary. And this is good. I think this is going to have a lot of resonance with him speaking, and that's it's really good. You know, we know he's intelligent, and there's a burden. You know, I mean, people expect he has such a range of skill, and people expect a lot, and this is good. So I'm happy that this is a good story for you. I'm happy to know this out there. It's good.
And he understands, guys, that like, okay, in order to be on that Celtics Mount Rushmore with, you know, right now, I mean, obviously, you know, it's, we'll get it from Bob, but obviously Russell and Bird are the guarantees, right? And Havlicek to me.
And Cousy, that's the Rushmore. And then the arguments. Then the fun arguments start. There's no arguments about the first four, and people will say, well, Cousy's historical relevance is so important to the history of the franchise and the league that, you know, there's no way you're dislodging him. I don't care if he never shot 40% from the floor. Yeah. Had nothing to do with anything. Okay, now we go, and he has already entered himself. He's going to be in that discussion. If he continues to play at this level, he will join the four or five guys that are in discussion for number five. Pierce.
Yeah. McHale, I think he'll pass Pierce, but
Collins, Sam Jones. Right now, that's the next four.
He understands. He said, like, if I don't win one, I know I can't be in the discussion.
No,
like,
you're right. That's the measuring stick that you have to have as a credential to get in the discussion. Yes.
True. You know, one of the things I talked to him about too was with Marcus Smart being gone, they lose that kind of, you know, outward intensity, right? Like all those other guys, we've talked about it kind of ad nauseum here. You know, they're all cool, right? They don't say a whole lot. Jaylen Brown, Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White, they're not wearing their emotions on their sleeve like Marcus Smart was. Was he a great leader? Well, I think on some days he was, and on some days he probably wasn't a very good leader. But I said, you know, how much are you going to miss Marcus Smart and his energy, his intensity, his passion outwardly? And he said, we're going to miss Marcus Smart as a player. I'm not worried about that part of it. I think we'll be fine. He said, I'm never going to be Kevin Garnett. But what people don't see of me is in practice, in film, I will speak up. And when I do speak, I think it resonates because he's not a guy who just talks for the sake of talking. So I think he's growing into that leadership role, but he's not going to change who he is. That's not him.
No, you got to be true to your personality. You can't be a phony. And there's a difference. Now, I was thinking as you were speaking earlier, that the difference between what we're talking, maturing and maturing, but while still remaining true to your personality, you can't force it and you shouldn't. So, you know, it's like a coach knows that. So that's good. No, these are all things we're very happy to hear, I must say, you know.
And but there's a but.
Yeah.
There's all a right. But there's but. A but. He is definitely matured. He understands this. And I think all of us know the rah-rah stuff is overrated. You know, I've always felt It depends on the team. I mean, you can look at different spots and different teams, and you have – it's really what happens on the floor. And, you know, I don't think Marcus is going to be missed in the locker room, like he said. I think it's on the floor when he was doing the right things and when he wasn't overextending himself. But this is the question, Jeff, I will always have. And in your article, he says all the right things. You know, he takes his responsibility, you know, how they didn't get it done against Miami. And he also had the injury in the year before. But does he have that burning desire inside to be the best? He can say it. Now, Bob covered Larry. You know, I covered Parcells, where he said he used to throw up in his mouth after a bad game. Brady, who we saw over the weekend in Foxborough, is the worst loser of all time. Does Tatum stay up at night? You know, does he have that intensity to get to the next level? I don't know. I don't know yet.
I don't know that either. I don't know how he reacts to those losses if it's behind closed doors.
Right.
You know, and he's miserable. Obviously, we don't see it on his face like some people want it, right? Some people want to, when you lose, they want to see you throwing shit, right? They want to see you,
right,
you know, crying after a loss in the NBA Finals. That's not Jason Tatum. What I will say is the dude's a worker. Like, he is a worker. He's not a partier.
Right.
Like, that's okay. One thing you can say about Jason Tatum. He's not going out there partying until 1, 2 in the morning and bouncing back and playing. That's not him. Now, can he go out and have a good time occasionally? Yeah. That's not him. So his loves are right now basketball and probably his family.
Get ready for the NFL season with incredible offers from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Now is the best time to join FanDuel. It absolutely is. The app is easy to use, and you can be on everything from spreads to player props and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston. Kick off the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSense.MA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. NFL Sunday Ticket offer ends 9/18/23. No refunds. Terms and embargoes apply. $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket. Not YouTube TV. YouTube TV base plan required to watch YouTube TV. Redemption requires a Google account, a current form of payment. Commercial use excluded. Subscription renews. Cancel anytime.
That's it.
Well, if he's a gym rat, that's a good thing, because
he likes golf.
I mean, he what's that?
He likes golf now.
Poor guy. But, you know, being a gym rat is the key. Because if you look at what Michael did with his combination of weights, I mean, weightlifting even on game day and his workouts and sweat, you know, Bird too. I mean, Bob and I were both there at media day when Bird showed up skinny, you know? I mean, so that's the thing is, you know, I also, Jaylen Brown's another topic for another time. Jaylen Brown has to get better in some things in the offseason. So I think it's a sign, Bob, that Tatum has matured as a person for him to speak so openly. Now we have to see it on the floor. You know what I mean?
As we're talking, I'm thinking about Bird and people, you know, to have this various images of him. There's only one time I remember during the career when he was overtly, externally angry about losing and said so and wanted to do something about it, that he articulated it. And that was in 83 after they were swept by the Bucks.
Right.
And it was one of the reasons they were swept, he was sick. He missed a whole game in that series. But he was, you know, they got swept by the Bucks. It was humiliating, let's face it. And this is the gospel truth. three of us, there's two media people left talking to him after when everybody else is gone. And it was me because I was in my TV era. I didn't have to go write a story that I wasn't going to hit a deadline. That's when I was at Channel 5. And Glenn Ordway, who was the color man. And it's a three, and he's telling us that he is angry, he's mad, he's gonna come, he's gonna go home. He said, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna work, I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna be better, and we're coming back. And that's the only time I ever heard him speak that directly in that way. You know, otherwise everything else was by action, you know, definitely. Right. Here. But that one time, well, guess what happened, guys? Do the math. 84. They came back and they won. And Larry was the MVP in the finals. He was the MVP in the league. He was the MVP in the finals. And you know, it was he did it. You know, that. But that's the one time. The rest of his career, you know, he was not like Garnett, and he didn't. You know, was. Right. Now, if we backtrack, I'm thinking about there have been three just. You know, in my time, there have been four overall distinct Celtic winning eras, starting with the Russell era. But the next one is the 70s. And there wasn't anybody quite like that. Collins was intense, you know, in his way, we all know. But it wasn't Garnett-like crazy. It was a different kind of craziness.
Who is Garnett-like? I mean,
nobody.
Yeah, I mean, right.
There's intensity, and then there's Garnett. I mean, there was nothing like Garnett. And, so, I mean, anyway. Well, but... still, I think we all agree it's very heartening to hear some of this stuff. We need to see the proof in the old pudding,
right?
And that's fine. But at least he recognizes, he understands a lot of things.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I mean, Jeff is also, you know, Jeff has known him for a long time, as he has with a lot of NBA players, because of the work he puts in. You know, but you know, he says in the article that basically he accepts the responsibility. I mean, he understands the criticism. You know, he gets it. But Jeff, you know, he understands it. He accepts, like you said, you know, the big guys
get half the battle.
And
some of these players are like immune to reality. They really are. Some of them are immune to reality. And you know, one of the other topics we touched on that I didn't get in the story was referees.
And,
I said to him, I said, listen, like what else fires you up? Because I said, you're like this for everything else I've ever seen you other than the referees. And he said, he's like, yeah, that's it. He goes, what I've come to realize is how difficult the job the refs have. I don't think he got that when he first got in the league. He said, I know we have the best refs in the world. I watched a lot of college and high school. And I think that puts it in perspective for him too, how bad college refs are, how bad high school refs are. And he said, he goes, I get now that like, and I didn't even think of this till he said, he goes, whatever call they make, somebody hates it. Somebody's yelling at it, right? Whatever call they make, it could be 100% right. It doesn't matter. Somebody is yelling at those dudes. So I think he's just more aware. He started to try to learn all the refs' names, things of that nature.
Right.
Again, it's all maturity, guys. Well, it's all growing up. He said, when I came into the league, because I was talking to him about like how he avoided contact when he came in the league. And he was like, yeah, I was 200 pounds. I was 19 years old. Now he looks like a grown man. I
mean,
again, 220, or he said he's like 217 now. But he embraces the contact now.
Well, I that's when I want to see him live, you know, prove it to us. And I want to see him running back on defense after the bad call. I don't want to see him lingering and yelling at the ref anymore. Had enough of that. That's important. I'm glad you brought that up. That's very important.
That upsets people. I think when you talk to Celtics fans about Jason Tatum, you know, that's up there at the top of their criticism.
And legitimate. That's a very legitimate criticism.
And it also seems to be against character.
Well,
that's not him.
He admits that it's not a character. Yes. I mean, Jeff just explained that. Yeah, it's fascinating. But you're right. You wouldn't expect him to be that guy.
Himself. Yeah,
you wouldn't expect him to be that guy. You would have expected Smart to be that guy. You might even expect Brown to be that guy, but you didn't expect him to be that guy.
Right. Okay, guys. Moving on. We are the NBA is a little over a month away. I think everybody wants it to start now. And there's a number of storylines heading into this season, whether it's the new look in Phoenix and the Lakers come back, Denver going to repeat, Paul to Golden State. Of course, the Celtics with their new roster. Bob, what is the storyline that you're looking for?
Well, obviously, with the Celtics over here, we all, you know, we understand that.
Right.
That's going to be an ongoing.
Give them a non-Celtic storyline, Gary. You got
that's going to be an ongoing discussion, and it'll keep us going. Don't worry. Okay. Me personally, I want to see if the Warriors have anything left in the tank. I want to see exactly what's left, and that's the one for me. So this is where Paul comes in. You know, Chris Paul comes in. So that's my personal number one. And it's always a fascination with the Lakers because we keep, you know, we're all fascinated always with the Lakers, particularly as long as LeBron's there. And they did that some peripheral things starting last year when they tried to address their shooting situation, which they did to a degree. And they might be interesting, but it's for me, it's the Warriors. And what if is the last gasp? Do you address the last gasp by getting even older, which is what
right.
That's a very, you know, it's not like they got young blood with this guy. So it'll be interesting. That's mine.
Mine is, all right, imagine arguably the best coach in the NBA with maybe two of the toughest dudes in the NBA. And that could happen if Damian Lillard ends up in Miami with Spo having Jimmy Butler and Damian Lillard and Bam Adebayo as your number three guy, which honestly is what he should be offensively. If that happened, I'm just intrigued with this whole Lillard thing and how it's going to be resolved. Number one, I mean, we can go through the storylines. I mean, I can't wait to see Victor Wembanyama like night in and night out and what he did. But that's an early storyline. That to me is like, it's going to be early, and we know San Antonio is going to stink, and then we'll kind of, okay, we'll watch them, but that won't sustain itself from a standpoint of like Bob Stock and, you know, playoffs.
It's funny because first they are, you know, we're a team with their record. They're going to be a must-watch team for most of us, or many of us.
Absolutely.
They're going to be a must-watch team. Absolutely. Another team that, you know, I liked last year, and I want to see if they could continue their progress. And there's no guarantee because I know historically it doesn't work out that way often. Sacramento, how good is Sacramento? They look like they could be really a force. And
John Moran in Memphis. What happens there? I mean, that's fascinating now to watch.
So there's quite a few of these. You notice it's all in the West, except for
Zion. Can he stay healthy? I mean,
to me, that's not even a question.
Because he can't.
I'll be very, very surprised if he has a career.
Remember, when he was coming out of Duke, we were talking about this, and I'm like, he's like the anti, you know, Chet Holmgren in a lot of ways, right? We talked about both those guys, and I don't know if either one will stay really healthy throughout their careers. And that's the hard part, because they're going to tease is probably the wrong word. They're going to show you what they're capable of doing when they're healthy.
And absolutely.
I think you can use that word. I mean, I'll sanction the use of that word, teaser, because, yeah, we see the glimpses and you get excited. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's always on the, 30-day list, you know. So, you know, no.
What if there was an app that used AI and machine learning to suggest smart sports bets? Well, there is. It's called Odds Are. It's the mobile app you need to know what bets of the day are the smart ones. Download the app, sign up for an account, and let the latest data analysis guide you through today's point spreads, money lines, and over-unders. If you see green, that's a smart bet. If you see yellow, you're on your own. If you see red, don't do it. Odds Are, it doesn't take your bet. It makes you better at it. With Odds Are on your mobile phone, you're a tap away from making a smart play. It's smart betting made simple. Find the Odds Are app in the App Store or on Google Play. Get a 2-week free trial. It's just $10 a month after that. The casinos and sportbooks want you to bet. Odds Are want you to win. So go get it. The Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast listeners actually have a special deal too. Get your first 30 days of the app free. Just go to oddsare.com/BobJeff to download the app. That's oddsare.com/BobJeff. 30 days of smart betting, free. We'd call that a winning bet.
I know.
I would like to see LeBron I would like to see LeBron grab one more ring. I never thought I would be sentimental with LeBron, but I would like to see him because he's kind of, I'm not going to say he's faded, but, you know, there's a lot of,
He's not the same. I mean, he can look the same for a play here or there, but he's not the same in terms. Yeah, I mean, his numbers are still crazy.
But his, you know, his star, I think, is faded because look at all the other things we've talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, we really haven't mentioned his name. And maybe he's had his run, Bob. You know, maybe
over half his life has been spent in the NBA. This man has logged a lot of miles, and he's still in phenomenal condition. It's just to be as good as he is. As, and we agree, he's not what he was 3-4 years ago. It's still remarkable. I think don't ever underplay that aspect of what he's doing and how he's gotten and kept himself ready. Yeah.
I'm rooting for the old man, but Durant's old too. They're all old. My God. Okay, let's move on. You guys have some comments on what's going to happen with the Olympics coming up in Paris. Bob talked about it last week, Jeff, when he talked about the U.S. national team, the embarrassment with what's going on. We'll let people get caught up with your thoughts on what happened, and then we'll look ahead to the Olympic team.
Me first?
Yeah, we'll start with you. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, listen, they Gilbert Arenas, former NBA player who's very outspoken and funny, sometimes he can be a little off in his takes, but he said, we sent our F team. You know, I don't know if they were the F team.
No.
But what I will say is if Anthony Edwards is your best player at this age and he's talented, he might be one of the 10 most talented players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But he can't be your best player right now. And as much as we both love Jalen Brunson, and I think we're both card-carrying members of the Jalen Brunson fan club, again, those aren't – They're tier B or tier C stars right now in the NBA. That's just the reality of it. And we got to find a way. My bigger concern here, and Bob, I don't know how you feel about this, but has some of the shine wore off on Team USA? Because give Coach K credit. What he and Jerry Colangelo were able to do to get those stars to where they wanted to play for Team USA and took pride in it and looked forward to it. I think some of that has kind of eroded to where now, again, in an Olympic year, yeah, hopefully they'll play again, but they don't want to play in the offseason now because they're playing deep enough in the playoffs, a lot of them, and they want an offseason. And I don't blame them.
The World Championship doesn't get their pulse racing the way the rest of the world, it does. The rest of the world, everybody. And we understand that. And we're going to have a different route. Now, first of all, lost in this shuffle here was the fact that we accomplished our primary goal, which is to qualify for the Olympics.
That's right.
That's number one. And the fact that we didn't medal is an embarrassment. Although I think Canada had as good a roster as we had to start with. So, and all NBA players, of course. So the big takeaway I have, given that everything you say is true, is America is no longer producing the big men. We need America. We got killed on the boards by Lithuania. I believe it was 41-28. Their big men punished us. Our two big men that we submitted for international perusal or abuse were Jaren Jackson Jr., who is the defendant. He is the rookie, the defensive player of the year, right? But he's not out there to score 25 points.
He's also a four in the NBA.
Thank you.
Want to play the five.
And Walker Kessler, say no more. Okay, no offense. And he does what he does. He blocked some shots here and there. That was our – and then Paolo Banchero, who's a hybrid – you know, big man. He's a big. He's a generic big and a very good one. Now, by the way, in the medal game, in the bronze medal game, neither he nor Ingram nor or Jackson played. They were, quote, ill. I don't know if they were sick of each other or whatever it was. I don't know. But they were ill. So, you know, and we still lost in overtime. So I got to think we would have gotten a medal if they had played. But anyway, big man. And you know how I feel about the fact that I like to see big men. Yeah. Like, you know, be a big man and just consider who the great player. Now we have one option. He better, we're going to have to please, Joel, who's now a citizen, we need Joel Embiid badly. I mean, badly. And if we don't get him, tell me who's the American-born big man that's going to rectify this issue for next year.
You know, here's the one thing I'll say is, if you surround Walker Kessler or Jaren Jackson Jr. with guys named LeBron and KD and Tatum
and Steph,
we'll be just fine. We'll be
right. But will they play, Jeff? Because I think so.
Much
anymore. Yeah, I think they'll play. I do. I think, like Bob said, like, this doesn't move the needle for them. They're not in the world of these guys sitting out games during the regular season now to protect their bodies. They're not going to go out there all summer for something that they're going to risk getting hurt or worn down.
Right.
Unless it's got the Olympics on it.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah. Right. No, not an American.
I'm fine with that. I'm actually, honestly, I'm fine, because as much as it's important to play for your country, they've done that. Most of these guys, these superstars.
LeBron has paid his dues many times over.
Do you want Jason Tatum? Here's my question to you, Gary. I'll say it right now. Did you want Jason Tatum playing for a month in the World Cup and then coming in and playing 82 games and then going to the NBA Finals and wearing down in the playoffs?
Oh, of course not. But Jeff, I'll take it a step further. I think that there are some fans that understand if they don't play in the Olympics. Because I believe
that. Would you prefer? Jason Tatum will have a decision to make next year. He obviously can be in the Olympic team. He'll be arguably the best player on the Olympic team for the U.S.
If Jason Tatum came out and said, I want to save myself for the Celtics and make a championship run and didn't play in the Olympics, I would understand that.
Would you prefer it?
I just think that – I don't want to seem unpatriotic, but I just don't think that – the Olympics at one point, and Bob, we talked about this, was us against them, right? I mean, it was – the world is like one place now. These guys all play together. There's really no good guy, no bad guy. You know, like when in 80, we took on the Russians in the hockey. You know, so if an NBA player says, I'm not going to play in the Olympics because I want to save my body for my job, I understand it. I would rather, of course, I want to see the U.S. play. I mean, I want to see Durant and I want to see Paul. I want to see these guys play together as a basketball fan. Sure, and I want to see America win a gold medal. But it's a different time. I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand it. I'm not angry. Like, if Kevin Durant comes on and says, look, man, I'm 36, 37, whatever now, you know, and I'm not going to play in the Olympics because I want to save my body for the Suns, I'll be disappointed because I would rather see him play for the Olympics. But I understand it. Like, I'm not going to be mad about it.
No, basketball, this is our national, you know, of course, it was invented by a Canadian, just so happened. But Dr. Nesmith was a Canadian who was in Springfield in 1892. But, you know, we own this game. We feel we own this game. We feel proprietary toward this game. I don't think as we've been alluding to, that the globalization of basketball, where now every year there are over 100 international players on NBA rosters, shows how the game is spread. It's a number two game worldwide. So it's no longer as logical as it once was that we should dominate, you know, that we have to keep dominating. And just remember, the last three MVPs are from Cameroon, Serbia, and Greece. So, you know, that's where we are. That's where we're coming. And to which is all credit goes to the Dream Team for creating this climate that,
no question,
30 years later, that's another topic, for another day, but that's exactly it.
I mean, right, Jeff, how do you feel,
Bob? Great question you pose about Tatum, and I know I'd want him to play, but I'm not as fiercely, proprietary about our game as I understand it. The thing is, though, you still ask yourself, with the exception of Canada, is there any – should there really be a country that would have enough other good players that could give our best a game, you know? And
you wouldn't think, but again, if we don't send LeBron, right, KD,
we have to send an 18. You know,
if LeBron and KD don't play, I'm sure Tatum looks at that as like, well, why the hell am I going to play?
Well, that's a problem too.
Right. Why am I going to play? I'm not going to go out there and, they're going to have a leg up on me. You know, now Tatum's obviously in his prime at 25. They're not. And Tatum would be the guy. But I think, yeah, it's a kind of a deal. And this is how it was years ago when it was LeBron and Carmelo. And, you know, you got them. Then everybody else kind of fell in line.
Right. And there's one little thing before we close on this topic is that did you take note who the starting center for Germany, the world champions, was?
No, who was it?
Daniel Theis.
Oh, right. He dominated, too.
He had a great playoff, a great tournament.
Right.
Which I'm happy for. But I
So, all right, let me get back to what we started with, which is we had Jaren Jackson Jr. and Walker Kessler. At the end of the day, who's more talented, Bob? Daniel Theis or Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Well, talented. I mean, they're different games. I mean, Jackson's strength.
Who would you rather have?
Jackson.
Correct. So, like, we could say it all we want, but as long as Jokic and Embiid aren't playing against the U.S., like, who are the big men that scare you? I mean, honestly, like, you're not scared by Daniel Theis. You should be able to handle
it. Oh, no. I just find it amusing that, you know, for us, there's a resonance here that wouldn't be for other cities. And
right.
Theis is now got a gold medal and, you know, good for him.
Yeah, well, Jeff, you're out there. As we wrap it up, do you have a gut feeling? Have you been able to check the temperature with the players on who will go and who, like, do you think?
I think Windhorst put out there that it's likely LeBron and KD and Tatum or that they're going to play in the Olympics. Yeah. That's the plan for these guys. And again, like, it makes sense. I mean, you got a core group. And I think, you know, it does mean something to them. And again, if LeBron plays, that's kind of the Pied Piper. I mean, ultimately, if LeBron's playing and he calls you and he says, hey, to Jason Tatum, I really want you to play. I'm going to play in the Olympics. What are you going to say if you're Jason?
Yeah, and then he goes. I get it.
Of course.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's better if they do. But yes. As we've discussed, it's a different world. Jeff, next week maybe we'll see you.
I'll be home.
You'll be home.
I'll be home.
Sans drapes. Bob, always a pleasure, my friend.
Good.
Say hi to my peeps up in Maine.
I shall.
Okay, we've been brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL season is upon us. Incredible offers from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. See you next week, guys.
New FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube at YouTube TV.